I call the House Education Committee meeting to order this morning. It is Monday, January 26, 2026, and the time is 9:01. I know there have been major snow challenges all over Juneau this morning, so thank you all for being here. And I know Coach Air Story is on her way, but held up by the snow. And I think she's been working on shoveling and getting here for quite some time, so I don't know what state she'll be in when she gets here, but she's on her way. Okay, members present this morning are Representative Elam, Representative Dibert, Representative Schwanke, Representative Eichscheid, and Co-Chair Story's on her way, but I am here, Co-Chair Himshut. We have a quorum to conduct business. I'd like to remind members to please silence your cell phones. We are in the Betty Davis Committee Room 106 in the State Capitol Building here in beautiful, snowy downtown Juneau. The documents for today's meeting have been distributed to members, are available on the table outside the door and on basis. And I want to thank our recording secretary, Jordan Nicholson. Thank you for being here, Jordan. And our moderator from the Juneau LIO is Chloe Miller, under the supervision of Zach Lawhorn. So it's going to be a great day for Chloe getting up to speed with us. And our committee aides today are Tammy Smith and Ella Lubin, who've gotten the room ready and gotten us all ready. And we are joined at 9:02 by Representative Underwood. Welcome. Okay. Welcome to the first House Education Committee meeting for the second session of the 34th Legislature. I'm glad you're all here and safe. We're going to work hard this year on good policy and oversight, but we all know that the budget is incredibly restrained. So that's going to sort of be a focus of everything we do, I think, for at least this session and for some time to come, probably. So looking for great policy wins where we can get them, also looking for what we can do to be as conservative as possible with the dollars we do have. I also want to just give an update. People are going to have to look for education information coming at them from a couple different directions this year. The Education Funding Task Force continues their progress. We dropped the ball a little getting information to people, so I want to make sure we're communicating with everyone. That process is happening also during session. We have a schedule for that. Where do people find that, Ella? Is it on? Yeah, there is a there. Yeah, getting to it, we'll email you guys exactly how to get there, but it is under special committees, and I'm not sure how much of the calendar is there if we're just doing it weekly. I haven't looked at it because I know the calendar, so we'll make sure you have that. And then the meetings that we've had so far have talked about the funding formula. We had information or an opportunity for partners like superintendents and business officials to weigh in on suggestions they have for our funding formula. We've talked about chronic absenteeism last week, and we've had some lookbacks at how we funded education changes, major changes that we've made in education over the years here in Alaska. So we've had some meetings, and we've done a whole bunch of visits to schools, which has been the best part of that process. And our next meeting will be on Monday, February 16th, so a little bit of a breather, and then we'll be back at it, and we have several meetings planned starting Monday the 16th. And if you have comments or questions for the task force, you can send them to edfundtaskforce@akleg.gov. So again, it's edfundtaskforce@akleg.gov. Okay, today's agenda, we have only one item scheduled for the meeting today, and it's the Comprehensive Literacy State Development Grant, known as the CLSD. We'll have two presentations this morning. One is from Michael Robbins of Bristol Bay Borough, and the other is from Superintendent Robin Taylor of Petersburg. I forgot to say Superintendent Michael Robbins out in Bristol Bay, who was in Ketchikan until this year. You have copies of... There aren't any presentations for this, so it'll just be listening to them. I just want to acknowledge that we asked Deed to join us today. They weren't able to be here. We had a presentation on this topic last year, and what we're hearing is that the grant is wonderful and districts are really grateful for it, but it hasn't been completely smooth, and they had lingering questions. So we wanted to give superintendents an opportunity to go on the record today. Because Deed wasn't able to be here, we will write down the questions and try to get answers. As we get started, I'm going to ask Michael Robbins, Superintendent Robbins, do you want to take questions as you go, or do you want to give us your entire statement and we should take notes and then get back to you?
Madam Chair, it's entirely up to the committee. I can do it either way.
Since you're online today, it might be easiest if if the committee is okay with it, can you take notes as he goes through his statement, and then we'll just kind of take questions at the end and get back to him. Does that sound okay? I think it's going to be difficult to interrupt since he's online. Okay. Superintendent Robbins, can you go ahead and start your comments on the Comprehensive Literacy State Development Grant and what you're seeing there on the ground in Bristol Bay?
Yes, ma'am. Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Michael Robbins, Superintendent of Schools of the Bristol Bay Borough School District, and I previously served as the Superintendent of the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School District for 3 years. Thank you for the invitation to testify today about the Comprehensive Literacy State Development, or CLSD, grant. While this grant application is complex and sometimes cumbersome, one of the greatest strengths of the CLSD is that it allows us to think strategically about comprehensive literacy from birth through 12th grade. The grant recognizes that early language development, strong foundational reading skills, and continued literacy support through middle and high school are all connected, because literacy doesn't start in kindergarten and doesn't stop in third grade. CLSD helps bring early learning, pre-K-12 instruction, and family engagement together around evidence-based literacy practices, rather than having districts attempt to tackle these issues in a piecemeal manner. A benefit of CLSD is its focus on professional development. The grant supports training, coaching, and leadership development grounded in research-based instruction, including the Science of Reading and Multi-Tiered System of Support, or MTSS. MTSS has been especially helpful because it gives educators a clear, data-informed way to identify students' needs early, provides the right level of support, and adjusts instructions based on what the data shows. When MTSS is implemented well, it creates consistency across classrooms and schools, helps prevent problems before they grow, and ensures that limited resources are utilized where that matters most. This work moves us away from one-time training and towards sustained improvements in teaching and learning, which is where we see real results for the children we serve. The form of professional development can support teacher retention while building a highly skilled workforce. CLSD also provides district flexibility to design literacy strategy that fits their local communities while still aligning to statewide goals. In a state like Alaska, that flexibility is critical. What I needed in Ketchikan is different than what I need in Bristol Bay. This grant includes accountability and evaluation, which helps ensure that public dollars are being used responsibly and that we are learning from the work as we move forward. I also want to speak from personal experience about why access to this work is so important. Not all school districts receive CLSD funding. In my previous district, where I also served as superintendent, we were not eligible for the grant. And as a result, our educators and students did not receive the level of professional development support that CLSD provides and will provide. The need was there, but the resources were not. By contrast, the Bristol Bay Borough School District does receive CLSD funding, and the difference is meaningful and tangible. This funding will have significant impact on our students' reading levels, and it has already strengthened the quality and consistency of professional development for our educators. We just completed a whole day training on Thursday that absolutely made us better as professionals in the reading space. That improved professional development translates directly into better instruction, stronger systems, and better outcomes for students. The effects of this work extend well beyond literacy alone, supporting overall student success and educator capacity. Programs like CLSD are making a real difference where they are available, and we need to find ways for all districts and all students to have access to the same level of support and opportunity. At the same time, it's important to acknowledge that we're still in the first generation of implementing this work. We're doing good things, and districts across the state are making meaningful progress. With 5 years of funding in place, we have important opportunities to strengthen and improve implementation. The bigger question is how we use these next 2 years to make sure this work lasts. CLSD was never meant to be a short-term program. It's meant to help us build long-term literacy systems. As new teachers and administrators continue to enter our schools, the success of this work will depend on how well we plan for this, for those future waves of people. And I know that this is one thing that we've been discussing at the Educational Task Force, is the constant turnover in our districts. And constant turnover is a reality in our districts, in all districts. And that means professional learning cannot be a one-time effort. Training and coaching need to be ongoing and built into the system so that evidence-based literacy practices and MTSS stay consistent over time. This also raises important questions about sustainability, how we continue to develop staff, how we maintain consistency across grade levels, and how we use remaining years of the grant to build structures that can continue once the grant ends. These questions matter even more as districts continue to operate with fewer administrative positions, putting an outsized responsibility on a small number of leaders to manage complex initiatives like CLSD. Programs like CLSD or similar statewide model are important for ensuring that all districts, regardless of size or location, have equitable access to high-quality literacy. I also want to emphasize the importance of trusting districts in this work. Alaska has a long tradition of local control, and districts know their students and communities best. I'd like to share a brief example of why trusting local districts matters. Corin is a provider that many districts use across Alaska and across the country and has been the forefront of educational change. They presented three times at our MTSS conference over the years. Several districts in Alaska have chosen to work with Corin because it aligns with the local goals and needs, and they're seeing meaningful gains as a result. In those districts, this work is already embedded in practice, and educators are trained, invested, and seeing results. When professional development providers like Corwin are not approved or supported by the state, it creates disruption and risks slowing or undoing the progress that districts have worked so hard to achieve. If we want this work to be sustainable, we need to trust districts to continue using approaches that are working for their students and their communities while still maintaining appropriate accountability. Supporting districts and building on successful locally selected partnerships is one way we can honor local control and keep momentum moving forward. Better alignment between CLSD and READS Act funding could also help ensure that literacy support reaches all districts more equitably. On a practical level, districts need more clear, timely, and reasonable guidance around allowable use of grant funds. The approval process has been particularly cumbersome as some districts have had to resubmit their application multiple times, which takes valuable time from our grant leaders and administrators, as well as delaying the implementation of important activities. For example, attending MTSS RTR conference is extremely valuable, and we just completed that work yesterday for strengthening MTSS. But when approval was initially denied and then ultimately granted, with limited time before the event, it makes district planning difficult and limits participation in high-quality learning we provide for our students. More flexibility and predictability around professional development funding will allow districts to make better use of high-quality learning opportunities, which once again goes back to the local control that we need to have within our district structures. Overall, CLSD is a thoughtful and important investment in educator capacity, instructional quality, equity, and accountability. We are doing great work, and important foundations are being laid. With sustained funding, ongoing professional learning, like MTSS and the Reading Symposium, which is phenomenal training that is put on by Dean, trust in districts, alignment across literacy initiatives, and flexibility given to participating districts on how professional development and vendor support are used, CLSD can give a real opportunity to build a strong, lasting literacy system and improve outcomes for our children across Alaska. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Superintendent Robbins. And I'll just note the line was not 100% clear, I was able to pick up most of what was said, so I'm guessing others may have questions. I certainly have a few. And again, we'll take questions 2D and try to get answers for the committee for any part that belongs to them. So, Rep. Elam, did you have a question?
Yeah, I do. Thanks for coming and having a chat with us. You know, one of the themes that is common here in a lot of our committees is local control. And, you know, I love local control. It's definitely something I love a lot. But when we also look at it, what we see is kind of the checkerboard effect of consistency that happens from district to district and region to region, which, again, is nice because it allows our local communities to learn and develop their systems as they go. But from a state legislature perspective, that checkerboarding becomes more of a challenging conversation when we start trying to view consistency across the state. As a district, how do you like that kind of conversation coming from us? And I'm saying that because most of this committee is actually relatively new to the legislature. And so when we're having conversations about, say, inconsistencies between Anchorage and, you know, rural or remote areas of Alaska, how do you compare yourselves with that kind of consistency across the checkerboarding that happens?
Superintendent Robbins?
Through the chair?
Yeah.
I would say that I understand the state legislature looking at Alaska as a whole. We're looking at it as maybe a checkerboard, or this district is doing this program and this district is doing this program. But I would say this. There are a few focal points that we have when it comes to reading instruction. There's the NPSS RTI conference. There's the Science of Reading conference. And so where those districts who are doing one thing are collaborating with districts who are doing another thing. And just because it's this program or that program doesn't mean that there isn't quality instruction that is going to be used. What the programming that I would use in Ketchikan, for example, would be significantly different than I would use in Bristol Bay, just simply because of the place-based learning and the location that we are at. And so what I think that the State Education Department has done a very good job of, and MTSS, is bringing educators together to have those conversations and to compare what programming that they're using, and is that being effective in their communities, and then does that translate into what we are doing in our schools and taking some of the things that they have that are working and maybe using them in our district. But to sit there and have a blanket, we're going to do this program for everybody in the state, I don't believe is an effective measure when looking at how diverse our school districts are. And that's the beauty of Alaskan education, is that they are diverse. But with that diversity comes a certain amount of trust that you have with those local school districts who are doing very good work, and those people are performing at a very high level, and that's been seen in the data that we have since we've implemented the READS Act.
Before the follow-up, or some of Elam, I just wanted to clarify, MTSS is being used here in a couple of different ways. MTSS stands for Multi-Tiered Systems of Support, but I think Superintendent Robbins is also referring to a conference that is called the MTSS Conference that's held in January.
Okay.
And I think that could be confusing. So go ahead with your follow-up.
Thank you. And I appreciate the follow-up. Part of the reason, or my train of thought of where I'm going with this is that when we're trying to calculate and figure out what does it cost to educate students in Alaska, and there's a wide variance of maybe one district thinks that this is working well, but, you know, and another one wants to do something else that's working well. And I apologize, I'm kind of formulating my thoughts here a little bit on the fly, but it's hard to calculate the costs in various districts if, you know, curriculum, I'll use an example, right? You know, some schools hold on to their curriculum for a very long time, and others may change more, you know, on a more expedited basis, right? You know, and that costs a lot when we start looking at those things. And so from a policy perspective, how do we calculate the costs with all of that checkerboarding? And it, I don't know that you have an answer. I don't know that any of us have an answer, but that's something that we're working on.
Superintendent Robbins.
Thank you, through the chair. That is a great question, and I don't necessarily think that I have a very succinct answer to how we develop a funding formula based upon the curriculum that we have. But I would say that trusting the school districts to understand the cycle of the curriculum that they need and when they need to implement. Some school districts do curriculum cycling every 4 years. Some do every 6 years. Some do every 8 years. Some do every 2 years. It's really based upon school board policy and what they believe is most effective for the students in their school district. So in looking at a curriculum question on when and how you would price that, that almost comes down to when schools are willing to, A, have the funding to do that. And I would say this, a lot of the curriculums have been delayed in implementation because the lack of state funding or local funding, one of the things that gets cut pretty quickly is we'll just push curriculum off another year. Okay, we're up for English this year, but we really don't have $250,000 to $400,000 to implement a new curriculum. And so when you are working on the state funding formula through the Educational Task Force, that needs to be understood that there are certain costs that get taken away, and one of those happens to be curriculum, which is incredibly important in your school district, but it is as important as your music program or your physical education classes or your class sizes going up 2 or 3 because, or 5 or 10, based upon not having those monies to do that. And I think that people tend to invest, I know when I'm superintendent, in personnel and the work that they're doing, because teachers make a huge difference in the classroom, and that's where we put our monies first.
And Superintendent Robbins, I'm just going to ask, if you're on speakerphone, our tech gurus are saying it might be easier to understand you if you are not on speakerphone. Did you want to follow up on that, Representative Elam?
Thank you.
Can you hear me better there?
Yeah, that sounds
better.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And so I guess that is kind of you did answer or went down the road there that I was looking at. And it would be nice for us to be able to get to a point where we actually really understand what it costs for sort of the core of education, so that that core isn't mm-hmm. in direct competition with so many of the other items on the in the budget. So thank you. I'll listen to everybody else's now.
Representative Story.
Thank you, Co-Chair Himshute, and welcome, Superintendent Robbins. Thank you for your information. I just wanted to clarify, and please correct me if you have any corrections, but when we have flexibility in our curriculums across the state to be local control, they must be scientific-based. They must be something that mm-hmm. DEED has to give an exemption to some curriculum and see how it's based on the science of reading. But there are parameters. It's just you can't pick any new reading program that does not do the science of reading component in it. And I think that's just important to know, because it just reassures me as an oversight that we are using best practices out there. So I wanted to clarify that point. I also wanted to clarify curriculum. My memory is every 6 years we are supposed to, by statute, update your curriculum. Mm-hmm. And I know from the Juneau School District, it's just as Superintendent Robbins said, that can get delayed. And there's a curriculum cycle. I know in the Juneau School District, just because I know it the most, they have all the topics that we have to have curriculum refresh on, and there's a curriculum cycle. And like 2 years before, it's the renewal for the math program. There's a big committee that has to form with all these people on it. I see Rep. Underwood nodding her head. And a group starts, and then they're looking at all these different curriculums. I mean, these are like 16 people curriculum. I'm sure in other districts it's smaller, but there is a whole cycle and review part and going out to the community and community nights to look at the curriculum. And I think it would be helpful for the committee to just see one of those review cycles. Just because it helps. Again, there is a process, and ideally we follow that process. I just think that you're bringing up a good point, Rep. Elam, about the funding of that. Superintendent Robbins, did you have anything to add to those comments?
I totally agree with you, Representative Story, that there's committees that get together. There's community input. Curriculum must be approved by the school board. And there is truly a process that goes through all of that. And some years you choose to keep the same curriculum that you've had in the past because it's been working and there's no reason to change. And in other years, depending on if there's something else that has shifted over the last 4 or 5 years, you may move to another curriculum. But there's parents on those committees. There's educators. It's pretty well vetted throughout, and then there's a reading to the school board, and it must be passed through them.
And did you have a follow-up, Representative Story?
Thank you. I had a further question about how districts were picked to get the CLSD funds, because you said some districts had funds and some districts did not, so I was curious about that. And I keep thinking we're talking about a school district, CLSD. It's like,
a
school district and not a program. But no, I did not have a follow-up to
that.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but Representative Story was able to join us at 9:07 after an epic morning in the snow. And I'm not sure if I put that on record, but she is here, and I'm so glad. The question of who all got it and who did not get it isn't clearly spelled out on the deed site. And so I don't know if Superintendent Robbins would have that information either, but that is a question that we can pose to Deed, and we're keeping a list of questions to get a response to. So Superintendent Robbins, do you know which districts did and did not out of the 53? That could be a long answer.
Through Chair, when I was in Ketchikan, the reason we did not receive it is that we did not have enough students who qualified under free and reduced lunch and Title I. And so that is the reason why we were not eligible for it. And in Bristol Bay, our district does have the number of students that you would need in order to qualify through Title I and free reduced lunch.
Okay, thank you. And I think my question would be, which districts got it, which districts did not, and how are the applications evaluated? I think that's a question for Deed. Did you have another follow-up, Coach Story?
Thank you, Coach Himshut. If I remember, and I had jotted this down, these grants are to focus on disadvantaged children, English language learners, and students with disabilities. So I think those are the categories. Mm-hmm. And then even though we know all children deserve, you know, the best focus on literacy and training that our staff has.
Okay, I think we'll move on to Representative Eichheit.
Yes. Thank you, Co-Chair Himshut. Superintendent Robbins, thank you for your presentation. I guess I have two questions. One thing that you said was you were talking about this robust training that you felt was really going to move the needle on reading instruction. And I guess what occurred to me, you know, I'm looking at the grant here. It looks like it's a 5-year grant. So, you know, grants are meant to improve capacities in some area, and you take that training, and the training lives on beyond those 5 years. So you'd mentioned staff turnover. So how does that impact your ability to deliver high-quality instruction? And if you do have staff turnover problems in Bristol Bay, I'd like to hear if that's the case and what causes. high staff turnover and presumably impact on quality instruction? That's my first question.
Superintendent Robbins, we're going to run short on time for our second presenter, so if you could give a quick answer to a fairly involved question, that would be great.
I think one thing that I would say is that I would, as far as teacher turnover concerned, I think the Educational Joint Education Committee has done an excellent job of describing why the reasons of administrators and teachers leave the state of Alaska. So I would kind of maybe pivot towards that research that we have. But I would say that there's a large impact when it comes to any teacher who leaves your district that has received the quality of professional development that we are receiving through this grant, is that you now have to train that person up, catch that person up, put more resources into a new teacher or a new teacher to your district that doesn't have that training. That's obviously going to have an impact on continuity with the students, continuity with the staff. And so that, once again, that has a large impact on student achievement and learning. Anytime you have a change like that, it's going to take some time for those educators, and they catch up pretty quickly, but still that's going to be a part of the process. And we build that into our professional development at the beginning of the year. I know a lot of districts do that. We do that throughout the year. But anytime you have a change or loss of a great teacher, I think, you know, that does really impact student achievement and learning.
Thank you.
And then, quick as I could be there.
Yeah, no, that was good. A brief second question. It is brief.
Very quick follow-up.
Superintendent, I think I heard you say this, but I want to make sure I did hear it. Do you, as a school district, have to deal with a lot of red tape to do your educational mission, either from the state and or federal government?
Superintendent Robbins?
Yes.
Thank you.
Through the chair, I apologize. Yes, I would say that.
And Representative Underwood.
Thank you. Thank you for being here, Mr. Robbins. Quick question. Just since the REEDS Act has been implemented in the Bristol Bray region, I'm just curious, have you seen an improvement to prior to it being implemented till now? I know that we've seen really good measurements in the MAT-SU, but I'm just curious, in your region, has it stayed flat? Have you seen improvements? What's been your experience?
Superintendent Robbins.
We've seen a tremendous improvement in our reading program. We've cut the number of students who need individualized reading plans by 75% in our district over the last 2 years. It's been a tremendous amount of work by my teachers and my principal. But also I would say that with working with the state education department, they've done an excellent job with the science of reading. And I certainly think that has impacted the professional development and the learning that our teachers have gotten, and that has made an impact on our students. So I think the combination of all of it and everybody working together, I think, has really helped. There's some provisions of the bill that I would have maybe tweaked a little bit, but I think overall it's done an excellent job of focusing us on what is important when it comes to the science of reading.
Okay, I think Co-Chair Story has one more quick question, and then I have one, and then we're going to move on.
Thank you, Co-Chair Himshut. Through the chair, Superintendent Robbins, you said that you districts had asked for approval to go to this recent conference, and DEED had initially denied approval, and then later said that was approved. Can you tell me about that process?
Superintendent Robbins.
Yes, through the chair. Thank you for the question. Originally, the school districts had been notified that the MTSS conference was not being able to be used. CLSP funds would not be able to be used. We brought that to the attention of my organization, the Superintendents Association. Superintendents Association, I think, reached out and worked with DEED to show them that, no, this is a reading conference. The predominant amount of materials that were presented were centered around reading. And then the State Education Department came back maybe a month before the conference and then allowed that for us to go. And I would say that MTSS RTI is one of the few conferences where almost all the state goes, all the districts goes. There's been a focus on reading instruction for the 8 years that I've been going to it. And so once that process came in, or we were allowed to go, I think they saw an uptick of people who were able to go because the funding was there. And I do think it's a really important one, along with the science of reading that we do in April.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And I'll keep my questions very brief, and it also had to do with the conference aspect. So, and this is a question that we can give to Deed as well, but my understanding is conferences and that kind of professional development are included in the grant, and the disagreement or the misunderstanding had to do with whether it could only be the Science of Reading conference in May, or could it also include the MTSS conference that's held in January. Is that what – so at conference attendance was not in question. It's just which conference? Was that the dispute?
I think so. I think that there was a dispute on what necessarily was in the MTSS conference, but I think once it was found out that, yes, it's a very reading-intensive program, I think it was reevaluated, and I think that was to the benefit of our educators.
Okay. And then my second question has to do with Corwin, and do you know how a vendor becomes approved? Is that a process done within the department, or is there are stakeholders engaged in that process, and can that be reviewed? Do you know if that can be revisited, or has a final decision been made on vendors?
I do not know the process of which the way vendors do get approved. I think that might be a better question for the State Education Department on what that those rubrics look like, and how they then develop what that list might look like. I just know that in the case of Corwin, there are districts that have used that program, that Visible Learning, John Hattie's work for years, and has had significant impact on student achievement and learning. And so we were a little surprised when they did not show up on the vendor list, but I can't tell you the reasons why that they weren't on that particular list.
Okay, thank you. The questions I have so far that we would forward to the department, I think, have to do with which districts received this grant, how long has the grant been in place. I know we have this new award of $10 million a year for the next 5 years, which is fabulous, but I think the grant existed before that, so this is the first time Alaska's gotten it. And then the question about vendors, how the vendors are selected and approved. Is that consistent with – do you want to add something? Co-chair Story.
Thank you, Co-chair Hemshut. I would like to add the curriculum review process, if the committee here could see what that process is.
And okay. Sounds good. And with that, Superintendent Robbins, I'm going to thank you for your time, and we really appreciate you calling in and giving us part of your morning and starting off your week with us. And we're going to move on now to –
Thank you, Bear.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, it sounds like we might have cut him off. That's fine. Totally fine. And now we're going to move on to Robin Taylor, who is the superintendent of Petersburg City School District. Thank you, Superintendent Taylor, for being with us this morning. I hope you're getting some snow in Petersburg. The morning news broadcast sounded like snow turning to rain, so I hope everybody's safe down there. And it sounded like you were starting school on time, at least this morning at 6:30. There was no notice that you weren't. So if you could go ahead and put your name on record and share your thoughts with us.
Okay, well, good morning, all. Just want to make sure you can hear me.
Yep, you sound great.
Okay, fantastic. Well, Chair and members of the House Education Committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. For the record, my name is Robin Taylor, and I serve as the superintendent of the Petersburg School District. I want to begin by expressing sincere appreciation for the intent and vision behind the Comprehensive Literacy State Development, or CLSD, grant. We are grateful that the state of Alaska pursued and secured this funding, approximately $10 million per year over 5 years, to strengthen literacy work statewide. We also strongly agree with the birth to grade 12 focus of this grant. Literacy does not begin in kindergarten, and it does not end in third grade. A comprehensive, vertically aligned approach is absolutely the right direction, and we appreciate the state's commitment to that long-term vision. That said, I'd like to respectfully share several implementation challenges that districts like Petersburg have encountered, challenges that are limiting the grant's ability to fully support the very work it was intended to strengthen. In the late summer of 2024, superintendents were informed by Commissioner Bishop that Alaska had received CLSD funding and that districts would soon be able to apply to support literacy work aligned with the Alaska Reads Act and secondary literacy efforts. There was real excitement and optimism around this announcement. Before this time, the Alaska Reads Act was passed and signed into law by Governor Dunleavy in June of 2022, with no increase to the base student allocation, which required districts to adjust their budgets to meet the requirements of the Alaska Reads Act. However, as districts sought clarity throughout the last school year, the release timeline continued to shift from November to December to January and eventually into the spring. The CLSD application was ultimately released to districts on April 30th, 2025, with a May 30th deadline. While we appreciate the webinars and the guidance provided, this compressed timeline made it difficult to engage in thoughtful, strategic planning, especially for a grant intended to support systemic, multi-year literacy systems. When the grant application was released, we learned of 15 school districts who were not eligible to apply, based on fall 2024 OASIS data tied to free and reduced lunch percentages. To my understanding, this grant was not necessarily intended to be a selection-based federal grant. Rather, it was to support districts. Having served as a principal in districts such as Chatham and Denali, who were on the list of ineligible districts, I do want to raise a concern about reliance on this single metric. Some districts do not operate traditional food service programs, meaning free and reduced lunch data may not accurately reflect student poverty or need. Some districts simply don't have the capacity to get this data recorded as intended. As a result, districts with genuine literacy needs may have been excluded due to data limitations rather than actual circumstances. Petersburg qualified because we do have a universal meals program and a strong reporting system. But this does raise broader questions about equity and consistency in eligibility determination across the state. Districts were encouraged during webinars to be creative and visionary, to consider what we could do to strengthen first to grade 12 literacy if resources were available. That message was encouraging and appreciated. At the same time, districts were reminded that CLSD funds must supplement, not supplant, existing programs. This is where many districts, such as Petersburg, are experiencing a real and persistent tension. The Alaska Reads Act placed significant requirements on districts, yet implementation has largely occurred without sufficient new funding. In Petersburg alone, between FY25 and FY26, we eliminated one of our three elementary reading interventionist positions. Positions that were directly supporting Reads Act implementation and student outcomes. The recent unfortunate failure to override Senate Bill 113 provided yet another missed opportunity to help support funding of this act. Naturally, districts hoped CLSD funding could help sustain this work. However, the supplement, not supplant restriction makes it difficult to use this grant to maintain positions or systems that are already working but are no longer financially sustainable under current funding structures. The systems that have been set in place in Petersburg are working. We don't need something new and shiny. Rather, we need to be able to support existing structures, and the fiscal need to pay staffing is a significant resource to accomplish this work. Another challenge has been professional development flexibility. On page 14 of the CLSD application, under limited use of funds, the guidance stated that in-state conference costs were allowable only for attendance at the Alaska Science of Reading Symposium. We do appreciate that after requesting clarification from the state and demonstrating direct alignment to district literacy plans, approval for districts to use CLSD grant funds to attend the MTSS RTI conference was granted approximately 2 weeks before the conference itself. We are thankful for that flexibility. However, earlier clarity would have significantly improved planning and access. This situation also highlights a broader concern around local control and vendor flexibility. Districts were operating under a very short application timeline, and that same compressed timeline applied to vendors seeking approval. As a result, key professional learning partners were not approved in time. One example is Corwin, an organization that focuses on John Hattie's research on literacy and instruction across all content areas through effective teaching practices, commonly known as visible learning. Many districts, including Petersburg, have experienced meaningful improvements in instructional practice and student outcomes through this work. When districts are required to pivot away from proven partners due to prescriptive vendor lists and timing constraints, it disrupts momentum and limits the impact of the grant. Greater local flexibility in vendor selection, while maintaining accountability, would allow districts to build on what is already working for their students and educators. An additional and significant challenge involved grant fiscal mechanics and the state's GMS system. This grant required districts to set aside 1% of the award for Glean Education and 1% for Marzano Research for statewide communities of practice and the external evaluation before applying district indirect costs. This is a departure from standard grant practice where indirect costs are pulled first in the GMS system and remaining funds are then allocated. Thus, when the grant opened in the GMS system, the system was not structured to calculate costs this way. As a result, the math simply did not math. From July through late September and into October, districts and the state worked through ongoing conversations to correct the system. During this time, districts were already receiving invoices from Glean and Marzano, but could not properly process payments because the GMS system was not functioning correctly. This created cash flow challenges, administrative burden, and unnecessary stress for district finance teams. Finally, while we strongly support the birth to grade 12 vision, it's important to acknowledge the practical realities districts are facing. The Alaska Reads Act is heavily focused on kindergarten through third grade, and districts are devoting substantial time, staffing, and resources to meeting those requirements. While CLSD is framed as a way to support Reads Act implementation, the required funding distribution, 40% for K-5, 40% for grades 6 through 12, and 15% for preschool, has been challenging to balance against Reads Act demands. Districts want to support literacy across all grade levels, but the rigid allocation structure makes it difficult to concentrate resources where statutory accountability is currently the greatest. In closing, I want to emphasize that good work is happening. The intent behind CLSD is strong. Districts are committed to improving literacy outcomes, aligning with the Alaska Reads Act, and building systems that will last beyond the life of this grant. What we are asking for is greater flexibility, clearer and earlier guidance, and increased trust in districts to make decisions that reflect local context and student needs. With adjustments to eligibility criteria, vendor approval processes, professional development flexibility, and fiscal mechanics, CLSD can more fully achieve its promise as a transformative statewide literacy investment. I thank you for your time, your service, and for listening to the realities districts are navigating as we all work to do what is best for Alaska's children. Thank you.
Thank you, Superintendent Taylor. looking for questions. I have a few myself, but I'm sure others do too. Representative Underwood.
Thank you, Chair Hemshute. I'll just ask you the same thing that I asked the previous presenter. I'm just curious, what are you guys seeing for your reading scores prior to the READS Act being enacted till now? Is it a giant swing and improvement? Is it just a steady climb? I'm just curious, in your region, how you're seeing results play out.
Through the chair, thank you for that question. We've been fortunate in Petersburg that we have, as in many communities, we have a very strong birth to kindergarten community that students are entering very well prepared when we look at the TS Gold and the Alaska Developmental Profile scores. But we are seeing continuous increases through the programs that we have put in place. We are continuing to see improvement in our student scores. I was just looking at our test data from the Alaska Literacy Screener, also known as DIBL, this year. And our beginning of the year data showed that at the beginning of the year, 44% of our students showed overall reading proficiency, and our mid-year data shows that we are now at 57%. So we are seeing just those consistent gains.
I'm going to go ahead and follow up with a question about that question, if that's okay. Superintendent Taylor, the Alaska Developmental Profile never had a year-end test, so we could identify how many kids were not ready to start kindergarten, but we never checked to see how many made progress. So we're seeing these great gains. I'm just hesitant because it feels like until we see fourth and fifth graders, maybe next year and the year after 3 years of implementation, when those scores go up, I'm going to feel more confident. But I understand the growth between start of year and end of year is greater than it's ever been, but did we always measure end of year? Are we comparing to a previous measure, or are we just now quantifying the growth from beginning of year to end of year? And I don't know what we used to do to be able to compare that.
Through the chair again, thank you for that question. Not being an elementary specialist, I would probably defer to my elementary principal, who's not in the room, to better answer that. But having been a K-12 principal focusing more in secondary, what I would say is in all of the buildings I've had the privilege of working in, we've consistently used the Alaska State Assessments as our year-to-year metric looking at students and their growth.
Are there questions on Superintendent Taylor's presentation? We have about 5 minutes. Representative Dybert.
Good morning through the co-chair. Thank you, Superintendent Taylor, for being here and for your presentation. We asked this in the previous presentation on teacher turnover. How does that look in Petersburg? And how do you address that with training if there is an issue? Thank you, Co-Chair.
Superintendent Taylor.
All right. Through the chair, thank you for the question, Representative Dybert. The teacher turnover in Petersburg, I would estimate, is lower than what I've seen through districts I've had the opportunity to work in across the state. Individuals tend to come to Petersburg and stay. This year, we just have two resignations, retirement and moving into family life. And so people tend to come and stay. However, when we do get new individuals coming in, we often, this past year, we found that we had to bring in an international hire, which meant training from the ground up. And so the CLSD grant has been helpful to support those training costs for that teacher to get their letters certification training. But then, as Superintendent Robbins had talked about, just with teacher turnover and sustainability of the grant, you know, in a few years from now, those funds will be gone, and so the turnover does not go away. So there will still be training requirements.
Okay. Thank you. Co-Chair Story?
Thank you, Co-Chair Hemshut. Through the chair, I would like to ask Superintendent Taylor if John Hattie Visible Learning was not a science-based, evidence-based reading program. And then I would like to know from Deed why, how vendors were picked, which I believe you already asked about. And then also why, with the grants fiscal mechanism, why are they deducting the 1% from the room? Anyway, there were a few comments there. I couldn't remember if it was what they were deducting the other two 1% from before the indirect costs.
Yeah.
So sorry, that was a little bit.
Which question is for Superintendent Taylor?
The first one is for Superintendent Taylor.
Please.
Yes. The John Hattie curriculum, the visible learning, is that a science evidence-based reading program?
Superintendent Taylor.
Yes. Through the chair, thank you for the question. John Hattie and the visible learning, John Hattie has researched across the world effective teaching practices. And there's a lot of nuts and bolts, but the effect sizes of the different strategies that we use have an impact on students' learning. And so, yes, there is a literacy focus on this. Corwin has been the invited guest, I want to say the last 3 years, but somebody else may better support that. But they've been the invited guest for the last 3 years to the MTSS RTI conference. It's an overall comprehensive support system, not just on reading literacy, but on literacy instruction across all content areas, which has really impacted the work that occurs not just in reading, but in all content areas.
Follow-up? Very quick follow-up.
Yes. Oh, thank you. I was wondering, when you made the comment that this grant is not to supplant but supplement, did I get that order in right? Is my understanding clear about that? Because I thought this grant was in addition, it was coming in as additional resources to districts to work in these areas.
Superintendent Taylor?
Yes, through the chair, thank you for the question. Yes, you are correct. We were allowed to supplement but not supplant work that was happening. And so the example that I used in Petersburg is that through our general funds, we were unable to support three reading interventionist positions, so we had to reduce that. We were hopeful that with this grant, we may be able to bring one of those positions back, but we're not able to do that. That would have not been an appropriate use of the funds.
Thank you. Final comment from Co-Chair Story?
Yes, I would just like to add that to the questions to the department, because it seems very important if you're doing something effective that we should be able to fund it. Thank you.
Sure, 100%. Okay, before we wrap up, I just also have one quick question, Superintendent Taylor. Who writes your grant application? So for the 53 school districts who might want to avail themselves of the CLSD grant, does each district have to write their own application, and who in the district does that? Is there a grant writer?
Through the chair, thank you for that question. I can speak to Petersburg. That was myself, as well as my principals, and then now who we have put in the position as our CLSD grants coordinator after the grant was received. But through listening to the webinars and sitting down together and doing the work and really trying to submit a thorough and comprehensive grant in that 1 month window, I would anticipate just in my time alone that was about 30 hours of time. And then once the application was submitted, districts received notification of either acceptance or revision needed. And we were one of the districts that had to do some significant revision on our initial application, which that in itself proved to be helpful with the individuals hired from the state that worked with us going through the grant line by line and getting it to a spot where the state felt it was acceptable to meet their grant requirements.
Okay.
But yeah, we do not have a grant writer. It's an all hands on deck approach, or just somebody who's passionate and willing to take that on.
Okay, thank you for that, and thank you for your time, Superintendent Taylor. And I'm really happy to hear that there was technical assistance available and a revision opportunity. But you know, you guys are responding to a law that we wrote, and then your response to the law is to put in however many hours to get the funding to pay to implement the law. So thank you for your work that you're doing on that. We are going to wrap up our meeting today. I think we could go a lot deeper on this. We will get questions over to Deed for how this process could be made smoother in the future and so that the committee can better understand what the hiccups have been in the process of the CLSD implementation. We're going to conclude our meeting for today. Our next meeting will be on Wednesday, and we'll be focused on state tribal education compacts. We'll have invited testimony from a whole bunch of people. Misha Jackson with Tlingit, or Tribal Education Liaison with the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska. Mark Roseberry, Education Director, School Administrator, ICAS Kargi Academy. Sonia Skan, Education and Training Director, Ketchikan Indian Community. Carl Shambly, Education Director, Knik Tribe. Kiminak Maddie Akbiak Alvana Stimful, Curator of Educational Programs, Katervik Cultural Center, and Dr. Joel Isaac, Compacting Contractor, Department of Education and Early Development. As you hopefully picked up, these are the schools that are currently doing the demonstration project for the State Tribal Education Compact. Okay, with no further business before the committee, we are adjourned at 10:02.